Well, praise the Lord. You can sing, I'm redeemed. Amen. I hope that you sang it because you are redeemed. If you sang it just because it was a song to sing and you're not redeemed, let me recommend that you be redeemed tonight. The price has been paid. Let's take our Bible and turn to Mark chapter 14 this evening. Mark chapter number 14. This year, the theme for our church, of course, is In His Steps, and Pastor has preached a number of messages about following the Lord. Tonight, I'd like to preach a message from Mark chapter 14 entitled Beware of Lagging Behind. Beware of Lagging Behind, that song that we sang a moment ago, Nothing Between, was just right on cue for the message, and I don't know when the songs were picked out or who picked them out, but the Lord knows what the message was going to be tonight and had that song to prepare our hearts for it. But Mark chapter 14 is a very long chapter, and I won't read the whole chapter. We're just going to start reading at verse number 26. You're probably familiar with the story. If we were to read it in the text, it's the story of the Last Supper. And it says in verse 26, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little space, and fell on the ground, and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. We can relate to that, I'm sure, all of us. Hopefully your eyes aren't too heavy tonight. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. He that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him, and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword, and smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves, to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and ye took me not, but the scripture must needs be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there were that followed a young, and there were followed a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest with him, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and the scribes. Look at verse 54, which is where I get the thought from the message tonight. And Peter followed him afar off. Peter followed him afar off. Beware of lagging behind, again, is the title for the message, because we see that here Peter followed Jesus afar off. We wonder how it could be that Peter would get to that point. This is Peter who, upon hearing Jesus' call to follow him, according to Mark 1:18, straightway forsook his nets and followed him. It was Peter who said, "Thou art the Christ," in Mark 8:29. It was Peter who said, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee," in Matthew 19, verse 27. I say to you tonight that if Peter could end up following afar off, none of us is immune from the potential of lagging behind. I have to think about some principles here I think we see in Peter's life that may have contributed to his lagging behind. I propose to you tonight, first off, that he failed to submit to the scriptures. In verse 27 to verse 33, Jesus quoted the prophecy of the Old Testament as he said, "All you shall be offended because of me, because it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered." Think about this. The living word, Jesus, quoted the written word, and Peter said, "Yeah, but not me. That doesn't apply to me." Friends, if you fail to apply and submit to the word of God in your life, you will begin to lag in following Christ. Psalm 119 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Could it be that Peter was deceiving himself here? He was hearing the word, but he thought, "No, that doesn't apply to me." So he failed to submit to the scriptures. And by the way, it wasn't the first time, because you may remember the account that's given that Jesus was telling the disciples that he was going to be going to Jerusalem and he was going to be crucified. And what did Peter say? No, Lord, it won't happen. What did Jesus say? "Get thee behind me, Satan." But Peter failed here to submit to the scriptures. He also determined his devotion by comparison to others. He determined his devotion by comparison with others. It says in verse 29, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Lord, that scripture you just read, that may apply to them. They may quit. I could see James and John and maybe Philip and Matthew being offended, but not me. See, he determined his own devotion by comparing himself with other people. Being closer to Christ than you perceive others to be is not a good standard in knowing how close you are to Christ. See, it's not about how far you are in front of others, but it's how close you are to Christ that makes the difference. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." If we begin to compare ourselves with others to determine how close we are to the Lord, I can tell you that we will begin to lag behind, because we can always find somebody worse than us. Isn't that what we did as children? When our parents told us, "Well, my friend doesn't have to do that," right? That's what we found, the person who we knew didn't have to do something that our parents were telling us to do, and say, "Well, so-and-so, you know, my friend Michael, he doesn't have to do that." So as a Christian, if we say, "Well, I may not be quite as close to the Lord as I used to be, but I'm closer to the Lord than so-and-so," that you're going to lag behind if you start comparing yourselves with other people. Because, see, everyone else is subjective in their walk with the Lord, but Jesus Christ, he is the goal, he is the object, he is the one we're to be following after. Also, like us to see that he thought he could get by without prayer. So he failed to submit to the scriptures. He measured his devotion compared to others, and he thought he could get by without prayer. In verses 32 to 40, we won't read it again, but we did read it, and you probably remember the story. When Jesus said, "Watch and pray," what did they do? They fell asleep. And Peter was one of them that fell asleep, and Jesus came back and said, "Simon, could you not watch with me 1 hour? See, Simon Peter thought that his determination was sufficient to carry him through. But Jesus says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." If we begin to neglect personal prayer and dependence on God, we will lag behind in following Christ. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Commitments are a good thing. It's a good thing to commit to do things. Sometimes we have an altar call to respond, and we say, I'm committed, recommitting to Christ. I'm committing to doing this for the Lord. But let me remind you that the flesh committing to do something, even in all good intention, is like Peter and the others who said, although all else will deny you, yet will not I. We need the power of God. And when it's time to pray, we need to pray. If we fail to pray, we fail to depend on Christ, and we think we can do it of ourselves, we will begin to lag behind. Fourthly, I see that he lost sensitivity to Christ. The Bible records that Jesus said to them in verse 34, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. What a moving statement for Jesus to make. And of course, the other comparative scriptures talk about Jesus' sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in his prayer in the garden. So we can imagine that Jesus was evidently, even to the disciples who were watching, as he said these words, that my soul is exceeding sorrowful even to death, that they could tell that he was definitely moved. And yet still, they were unmoved to pray. Peter was unmoved to pray. Even though Christ said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death, still, Peter slept instead of praying. See, he lost sensitivity to Christ. Christian, if your devotions, church attendance, and service to God become a chore rather than a precious time with and for God, you will lag in your fellowship to Christ. Peter lost sensitivity to Christ, and he allowed the circumstances to dictate his devotion. In verses 46 to 50, he allowed the circumstances to dictate his devotion. When they're in Gethsemane by themselves, just the 11 plus Jesus, because of course Judas had already left and came back with the crowd, the mob. But in that group, Peter said, I'll die with you, but I won't deny you. But when the circumstances changed and there's an angry mob taking away his Lord, his Messiah, his Master, things changed. You see, the problem was he allowed the circumstances to dictate his devotion. The fear of what was happening seemingly superseded his faith in the power of Christ and the importance of following him. I'm sure he was afraid that association with Christ may get him killed, but you may remember in our text, we've read it already, that I will die with you, Lord, but I won't deny you. But now, the circumstances were there where it looked like, hey, I could die right now. These people could kill me. And instead of following close behind the Lord, he followed afar off because he allowed his circumstances to dictate his devotion. Undoubtedly, this was a scary time, but Jesus had told them it would happen. But may I say to you tonight, when we allow life's circumstances and trials to hinder our walk with Christ, we will lag behind. And by the way, it's not only trials that can cause us to lag behind. I'm saying circumstances of life, because sometimes it's the good times of life, the happy times, the easy times when we begin to lag. I think summertime can be a dangerous time for us, Christian. Sometimes we get off our regular schedule and things change a little bit. We may go on vacation, which is a good thing. Everyone needs a vacation. As pastor is away, we pray for him and his family to have a great vacation. It's needed. It's deserved. But even getting out of the routine of regular life sometimes can cause us to get lag behind in following Christ. The circumstances of life, if we let them, can hinder us from walking as close to Christ as we ought to walk. Certainly the trials of life can tend to do that. Isn't that what Satan's goal was with Job? Isn't that what he said to the Lord? If you remove the hedge from round about Job and let me at him, he'll deny you to your face. He won't follow you anymore if you let me at him. But of course, Job stayed faithful. Job stayed faithful in that. But Peter allowed the circumstances to dictate his devotion, as opposed to Job, who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Job, who said, have I not received good from the hand of the Lord, and shall I not receive evil? God's been so good blessing me so much. Now things have turned around, but I'm not going to curse God. When his wife told him to curse God and die, he said, I'm not going to do that. God's been too good to me. I'm not going to forsake the Lord. He didn't allow his circumstances to dictate his devotion, but Peter did in our text here. What were the results of lagging behind? We've seen the reasons, perhaps, that he started to lag behind, but what about the results? Well, he was warming himself with the wrong fire in verse 54. He sat with the wrong crowd in those same verses. He sat with the crowd of the servants of the high priest and so on. By the way, if you remember us, we read through, and you may have to read it again later on, but it talks about the servants of the high priest being there where Peter was. It also talks about the servants as being some who smote the Lord. Were they some of the same people that were smote Christ, and Peter was sat warming himself by the fire with them? So he sat with the wrong crowd, the opposite of the blessed man described in Psalm 1, where the Bible says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. But Peter sat with the wrong crowd. He was warming his hands with the wrong crowd. And ultimately, he denied his connection to Christ, didn't he? Three times. He said, no, I'm not one of Christ. Just like Jesus said he would, before the cock crew twice, he would deny Christ three times. And so he denied his connection to Christ. Why? Because he lagged behind. He wasn't following closely anymore. And he lagged behind in his following to Christ. He changed his speech to fit in verse 71, he began to curse and to swear. To prove a point, he said, hey, you want me to prove that I'm not with him? Do you think one of his followers would talk like this? And he began to curse and to swear. So he changed his speech to fit in. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It started by lagging behind Christ. It ended up with sitting at the wrong fire, sitting with the wrong crowd, denying his connection to Christ, changing his speech to fit in. But we also see in verse 72 that he had great regret. He had great regret. When he heard that cock crow again, the second time, it says he wept. He was exceedingly sorrowful. Second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He had great regret. May I say to you tonight that if you start lagging behind in following Christ, ultimately you're going to find yourself in a place of regret to a greater or lesser degree. I can tell you this, though, you will never regret following Christ closely, not in this life and certainly not in the life to come. You'll never regret following Christ closely, but if you begin to lag behind, it will bring regret and sorrow to your life. So we've seen the reasons, potentially, that Peter began to walk afar off. We've seen the results. But I'd like us to think just briefly tonight, and we're not going to take much time to consider the scriptures with this, but the restoration. You know, Peter's story doesn't end with lagging behind, with lagging followership and denial. In Mark chapter 16, verse 7, when the angel met the woman at the tomb, the angel said, go and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you to Galilee. Peter had an express statement that, hey, Jesus wants to see you. He's going before you. He's going to be waiting for you in Galilee. So he didn't end with being far away, following afar off. Jesus called Peter and the other disciples in John chapter 21, verse 12, to come and dine. After they fished and caught nothing, Peter said, I go fishing. And they said, we also go with you. And they caught nothing. A story in John chapter 21 tells us. But Jesus made a fire on the shore, and he put fish there. I don't know where the Lord got his fish from, because they hadn't brought their fish into land yet, but we know that the Lord can do anything. But what did he say to the disciples, including Peter, as they were out in the boat? Come and dine. Come and have that close fellowship with me again, guys. Peter, I know you wandered away, but I told you to meet me in Galilee, and now come on, come and dine. Let's have some of that close fellowship once again. And Jesus also in John chapter 21 called for Peter's loving service. Call for Peter's loving service. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. As we know, Peter went on to follow Christ closely and later penned the words of 1 Peter 2:21, which is the theme verse that Pastor has chosen for our theme for the year, which is on the church calendar. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. I'm so glad for the mercy and grace of our Savior to forgive and to restore. And Peter's an example of that, even though he had followed afar off and brought great regret. I'm glad that the Lord is the one who's willing to leave the 99 to find the one. You may say, that doesn't make sense. Well, it will when you realize that you're the one. Then it makes a lot of sense. Then you're glad for what the Lord says. 1 John chapter 1 is a chapter in the Bible that deals about fellowship, the joy that it brings, the fellowship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. It also includes in verse number 9 a great promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I ask you tonight, how is your fellowship? How is your fellowship? I don't think spell check liked that word, but how is your fellowship? How are you following? By the way, fellowship and fellowship really are very closely connected, as we kind of indicated in the message. Are you following him at all? You know, you have to be saved before you can follow him. You can't follow the Lord until you come to him and receive him as your Savior. That's the starting place. Christian, are you following him closely? Or can you see in your life that you may be beginning to lag behind? I'm sure we've all experienced trying to follow somebody somewhere. Maybe you're visiting somebody and they say, well, let's go out for supper. Just follow me. We'll go to such and such restaurant. Just follow me. Well, I know that it's less nowadays because, you know, just punch in your GPS is probably more the thing that happens a lot of the times now. But we probably all experienced that. Just follow me and I'll, you know, we'll head over there now. I remember it numerous times as pastor down in Cambridge there, we'd tell somebody, oh, we'll take you out for lunch after the service, pastor, visiting preacher, missionary, and just follow us, and you know we'll go to the restaurant. But when you're on the end of following somebody else, you know what happens when you don't stay close enough? You miss the same traffic light, a car pulls in front, and you begin to lose track of where that person that you're following is. You say, what kind of car was it again? What color was that car again? You know, you're trying to think, where are they? Where did they go? So may I say to you tonight, don't leave space between you and Christ, because other things will soon obscure your view of him, and you'll end up with regrets and doing things you never thought you would do. When I had my stroke, when they took me from Cambridge Hospital by ambulance to the hospital here at Grand River Hospital, and soon determined they wanted to send me to Hamilton to have surgery. By the time that happened, my wife and the kids had arrived at the hospital. Apparently they wanted to airlift me to Hamilton, but there was no helicopter available, so they decided to road ambulance transfer. One of the last things I remember before leaving the hospital, I don't remember much that happened at the hospital, but I remember one of the ambulance attendants saying to me, Chris, does your wife have Bluetooth? Because she's following us down to she's going to follow us, and we want to make sure if she gets lost, we can get a hold of her. I said, oh, don't worry, she'll keep up. You don't know my wife, the sometimes NASCAR jacket wearing Daytona 500 attending driver that she is. But no, they wanted her phone number. Why? Because they wanted to know if we get separated, we want to be able to give directions. Why? Because they knew it was a very real possibility that driving between Kitchener and Hamilton, there may be a disconnect in the following. Certainly could easily happen. But let's learn from the lesson from Peter tonight and beware of lagging behind. Submit to the Word of God and apply it to your life. Don't compare yourself to others, but compare yourself to Christ and follow him. Don't neglect to spend regular time with the Lord in prayer and depend on him. Don't just depend on your willpower, like Peter tried. Realize you need the Lord, so therefore spend much time in prayer. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is definitely weak. The Lord knew. If you have lagged or are starting to do so, remember that he is calling you to draw near again, and your current situation need not be your ongoing one. Friends, if Peter could follow afar off, the one who was in person with Jesus, who forsook all and followed him, we're not immune to the potential of it happening to us, to start lagging behind. And so may it be that we would join with the songwriter and say, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, this my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Beware of lagging behind. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can.